Welcome to the GBC Sermon Podcast, a weekly podcast from Gymea Baptist Church in Sydney, Australia. I'm Mark Rader, senior pastor here at GBC, and I hope that wherever you are listening from, you experience a sense of unity with the church around the world. This week has seen some extraordinary things happen in Australia as a result of the coronavirus. And this Sunday, we launched our very first online church service. You can join in our worship together at gbconline.org.au at our regular service times of 8:30, 10:30, and 6, Australian Eastern Standard Time. We'd love for you to join us if you're part of our community of faith, or if your own church is unable to move online. Stay for as long as you need. But given these extraordinary events, we are delaying the last of our values series until later this week. You can subscribe to the podcast to get alerts about when it comes out. Instead, as part of our online service, I reflected briefly on what it means for us to be the church ungathered.
Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junior, my fellow Jews who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampelatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asynchronitus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings.
Well, first of all, as one way to participate, can we just, wherever you are, give a little round of applause for Mark Coleman having read all of those names out loud, eh? That's not bad. Not bad at all. It's very rare that you actually get to use those sorts of readings, so it's kind of an exciting morning. These are, of course, extraordinary times. I'm old enough now to remember a few pretty extraordinary events that I've lived through, and of course to have looked back and seen how our society and our culture and our community has changed pretty radically. But I don't remember anything quite like what we're going through right now. And of course, whenever we're going through something extraordinary, whether it be an event like in what we're experiencing or something personal, we are always invited as followers of Jesus to think and act theologically. In other words, to consider what difference it makes when we consider what we believe about God. You know, so when you think about the current circumstances, I think there's a few natural places to think and act theologically. I mean, we are being reminded in a way that we very rarely are, just how out of control we are. I mean, so often we feel like we're in control, when in reality, we're probably not. And right now, everything feels out of control. Thinking theologically, though, we believe that God is in control. The coronavirus has not reached heaven. God has not needed to self-isolate or quarantine himself. He is still in control. And thinking theologically allows us to then act theologically as well, to act with a little more peace, a little less anxiety. I think when we think theologically about God's provision for us and his promises to provide for his people, it allows us then to act theologically and be the ones at the forefront of not panic buying, of being those who are actually big-hearted and generous to those around us because we can trust in God's provision. But as we gather together in homes across the Sutherland Shire and Sydney and perhaps beyond, it might be really appropriate for us to pause for a bit and think theologically about what it means to be the church, in particular, what it means to be the church ungathered. When we're no longer able to meet together, what does it mean for us to be the church? And so for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be returning to our theme for the year, which is you are here. It's a little bit ironic because obviously you're not, or you are where you are and I am where I am, but you get what I'm saying. You are here is a reminder that wherever we go, wherever we find ourselves, God is there with us. In fact, we believe that God was probably there before we were, and that wherever we are, God is at work and inviting us to join in with what he's doing. So what does it mean for us to be the ungathered church, to be the church that cannot meet together? How do we do that? How do we think theologically about that as a community of faith? And that's what I want to focus on for just a few minutes here today. There are, of course, big benefits to meeting together, aren't there? Now, one of the discipleship books that I've been reading talks about the five different relationships that help form us in our faith journeys. And one of those relationships is our relationship in the public context, when we are gathered with 100 people or 150 people or more. Now, that can't do everything, can it? It's very, very different from the time that we might spend alone with God or the time that we might spend with those one or two close friends who really push us to follow after Jesus, or in a small group or in a slightly larger group. But there's some good things about gathering together, aren't there? Now, we get to share our gifts and our resources. We get to encourage one another with those big stories. Now, we get to encourage one another just by being together. I don't know how you found worship today, but one of the things that I miss and I'm going to miss is the sound of 150, 160, 200 people singing together. It just doesn't feel the same when there's just two or three or even a dozen of you. There are some real benefits to gathering together, and there are some real benefits of being a larger organization. We can pool our resources, pool our skills, pool our experiences, and really seek to do some great things for God. And while these benefits are certainly clear for us, they're not the full extent of what it means to be the church. That's why I had Mark read that passage from Romans chapter 16. It's a curious passage, lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of names, about 25 names all up, at the very end of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And did you hear what I just said? Paul was writing to the one church at Rome. And there's no indicator in the rest of the epistle that Paul was thinking about different churches. He wasn't thinking about the Lutheran church and the Anglican church and the Uniting church. He was thinking about the one church in Rome. And yet, when we get to the end of the letter, what do we encounter? Well, this long list of names, and in fact, a whole series of references to house churches or to groups of people. You find that in verse 5 and in verse 10 and in verse 11 and in the last couple of verses of that section as well. There's up to five house churches that are identified by Paul. And I have to say, I was a little bit surprised this week when I was doing a little bit of reading around some commentaries in Romans 16, that a number of commentators believe that the entire population of the Roman church, if you'd gather them all together in one space, would have been between 40 and 100. And Paul wasn't writing to the mega church at Rome. And when he was writing to the one church, he was actually, in his mind, writing to a whole group of small house churches. The church in the earliest days didn't have the money or the resources or even the public support to build large facilities. And so they would meet in the homes of some of the wealthier members of that community of faith. And even those houses were not all that big. So you're talking about groups of 5, 10, 15, 20, maybe as many as 40 in some of the really extraordinarily large homes, but quite small. So what we're doing today is kind of going back to our roots. But what's important to remember is that when Paul was addressing all of these different house churches, all of these different families, all of these groups of friends who were meeting together to talk about what it meant to love and follow Jesus, he was thinking about the one church. Even though we are in living rooms, and back rooms and verandas and who knows where else, across the city right now, we are still the one church. There's a sense of unity that we can have because of our unity in Christ. But I think it's also important then to return to one other passage of Scripture, a passage of Scripture that I haven't talked about for probably 2 or 3 weeks, and so it's high time that we return to it. And that is John chapter 20, verse 21. I think you can probably say it along with me, can't you? Here's a chance to participate. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. It's written over our door. It's a reminder for us whenever we gather together that when we leave, we are leaving to take up the mission and the activity of Jesus Christ in the world. And here's, I think, the critical piece. Because when we gather together on a Sunday, 8:30 or 10:30 or 6 p.m. or whatever it might be, when we gather together, it's easy to think that what we are doing is church. But we've talked about this. We've talked about our gatherings together being probably more like halftime. Maybe we should have asked you to prepare some oranges for your meeting today, wherever you are, and kind of have some now at some point to be reminded that what we are on about really is not just about gathering, but we're actually about preparing and encouraging one another for the real work of the church. And the real work of the church, it's not here on a Sunday morning. It's where you are right now. It's where you're going to be tomorrow, which might be right where you are now if you're working from home. That is the work of the church. Wherever we are sent, wherever Jesus is with us, wherever God is at work, wherever the Holy Spirit empowers, there is the church. And so while worshiping online is going to have some challenges for us, let's be serious, it does feel a little bit strange, doesn't it? And for those who don't have access to online tools or find the technology just a little bit overwhelming, we got to figure that out too. But there's also a wonderful opportunity to remember that we are nonetheless still and always the church. Wherever we might be, whatever we're doing, wherever we have been sent, we are the church. So I have two things for you to do, two really concrete applications that I love for you to take up as a family or as a life group, a group of friends, as an individual, whoever you're watching this with right now. The first of them is this. All the way through chapter 16, Paul says, greet, and then fills in the blanks with all sorts of different names. And while we tend not to use the term greet so much, here's your application. I'd like you to think right now about 2 or 3 people whom you can try to connect with this week. 2 or 3 people that you could greet this week. 2 or 3 people that you look forward to seeing normally on a Sunday morning, or 2 or 3 people that you were looking forward to seeing because you haven't seen them for a little while now. Just bring them to mind. And sometime this week, call them up, text them, send them an email, touch base, arrange to have a coffee 1.5 meters apart from one another, or meet in a park where it's a nice public space. But find ways to facilitate some of that community space. Greet one another. Not with a holy kiss, because that's probably not appropriate for our time either. But find a way to connect with somebody else. And the second thing that I'd love you to do, and if you have some primary school kids who were doing the task that Mac asked them to do earlier, you've already got this done. I would love for you to write out John 20, verse 21. As the Father sent me, I am sending you, and stick it over your door, or on your door, or someplace so that you see every single day that where you are right now, God is, He has sent you there, and He is at work. I hope that you've experienced some kind of sense of unity with one another, even though we're not all together. And as we continue to reflect on what it means for us to be the church ungathered, as we continue to figure out what it looks like for us to be a community of faith when we can't meet together, I trust that you've been encouraged to think and act theologically right now. So let me take a moment to pray for us before we wrap up our time together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you have brought us into your family, and that you continue to send us all around the world, in all of our workplaces, in all of our families, in all of our neighborhoods, even now. And I pray that by your Holy Spirit, we would be aware of being the church ungathered, the church sent by you to participate with you. And I pray by your Holy Spirit you would bring to mind two or three people that we can connect with this week, two or three people that we can greet, that we might strengthen our community together. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Wherever you are, reach out to others and greet them. Remember that where you are, God is still active and still inviting us to be involved. I'd really encourage you to write John 20:21 and put it someplace you'll see it as you go to all those places Jesus sends you. Is there someone you know who really needs to hear this message? Why not greet them and share it with them and see what God does through that? Remember, you can follow us on Facebook or visit our website at gaimiabaptist.org.au. God bless.